This is the one. This is the fucking podcast of all podcasts. It's the motherfucking Holy Grail. It's like, get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here.
You know, I think that we'd be shocked if we walked through some of our schools today from USA Today. Today's schools are cursed by an increase in swearing with language that would stand a sailor's hair on end. In a recent poll of high school principals, 89% said they face profane language every day. How sad, Jack. Our teenagers.
You are now listening to the world's stupidest podcast ever. This is the GTFOH podcast. We have no idea what the fuck we're doing.
Yeah. Hello, my friends. I'm under the weather. I'm on drugs. But I'm fucking here. And we're fucking doing it live. We're doing it anyways. Let me turn this mic down just a tad. I think it might be a little hot. Yeah, it's just a little hot in here, peaking. Welcome to the GTFOH podcast, your weekly dosage of weird news and things that make you say,
"Get the fuck out of here!"
Really? Episode number 68 is called "Sugar Daddy Daycare."
Get the fuck out of here!
And we are out here approaching episode number 69. Yeah. All right. Fuck yeah. I caught a nasty respiratory bug from my kids, and then I thought I was getting better, and then all of a sudden, they just when I thought I was out, they fucking pulled me back in. So I'm all kinds of fucked up right now, so forgive me. But in case you didn't know, if it's your first time listening to the show or tuning in or watching us live on Twitch, my name is Recognize. My friends call me Rec. It's Billboard Baggins if you're nerdy. It's Billy Baggins if you're
nasty.
And I want to welcome you to the show. 68 episodes deep. I got my people here. Got Rec and Crew fam in the house live on Twitch with us. You can watch us Tuesdays, 10 p.m. if you're listening to this in the future live. So please check it out. And I had to do a little renovations for the show. We're tidying up things. We're trying to get into some new arenas and you know, better the show. So I had to make some rearrangements to templates and stuff like that. So some things might be fucked up tonight. So if you're like Spencer and you like to enjoy me crash into walls or trip over my shoelaces, then you might be in for a treat tonight, because I might be fucking some shit up left and right tonight. Also, I upgraded the firmware on this camera I've been using, and it seems like I thought it was going to get better, but it seems like it might get worse. So pray for me, because I think we might be seeing some weird artifacts that we don't normally see, or we only see rarely, but now, I don't know, strap in, folks.
Get the fuck out of here.
It's going to be a ride. All right, fuck it, man. Sometimes you just gotta rip the band-aid off and just tell them to give you some head. Lines.
Lines. At 11, pay more at the grocer, but getting less will tell you how to get the most.
The fuck are you doing?
We need to acknowledge an unfortunate mistake that I made and one of the teases we bring to you before this program. While we were live just after 10 o'clock, I said a word that many people find offensive. I'm truly sorry. It was a mistake on my part, and I sincerely apologize.
I fucking apologize. When you are feeling sick and you don't have energy, you often just feel like, you know, do you ever get sick and you just hate everything? Because that's kind of how I've been feeling, like, this past weekend. It was one of them, like, I just came to the end of a very long, like, promotional schedule. Promoting Snowfall, promoting the Snowfall video, promoting Line in the Sand. Chopping up and doing all this, like, shorts material for all, like, for my, you know, recognizing Mayday stuff. Then we got the Mayday's Believers 10 shows. So I was doing some content for that. And then also trying to keep this podcast, you know, trying to be the marketer for this podcast. And bro, like, it just came to the end of a very, like, I was hitting it. And then I got sick. And on the weekend, I was like, man, fuck all this shit. Everything fucking sucks. You know what I mean? It's the worst. You ever just get sick and just have no, you don't even want to get up. You hate everything. It only lasted a day for me, though. Luckily, it was only one day where I was like, man, I don't know. I think I'm just going to quit everything. And then, honestly, like, the next day I started to get, like, a smidge back of my energy. And I was like, you know what? Fucking no, man. I could do this. And also, I got challenged. I'm working with this agency, this marketing agency. And they were like, yo, you know, everything was great on socials. But then everything kind of, like, slowed down, you know. And I was like, shit. And then I was like defensive because that's how I get. I was like, what? But I was sick. I ran out of content. I was sick. I don't know. Like, I'm just one man, you know? And then I was like, no, hold on a second. I can get busy. Fuck that. I felt fucking challenged.
Get the fuck out of here.
Anyway, yeah, the whole world is sick right now. Everybody and their mama is sick right now. So at least I know it's not just me. Well, I guess the bright side of it all is I got my energy back. I'm still, like, every time we go to the story, a video story, you can just imagine me, as soon as the mic mutes, I'm just going to be coughing my lungs out still, because my fucking chest is still, like, fucked up, and my throat is a little bit sore. We actually did a Mayday rehearsal last night, which I probably shouldn't have vocally done, but I wanted to get back to it with Mayday, so we did, and it was fire, and it was a vibe, and these Believers 10 shows that we're setting up for the spring, later this spring, is going to be fire. But I just, I'm hurting today. Anyway, it's all good. Let's check in with the world. Let's see what's been going on this past week. I think, you know, Trump was supposed to get arrested today. Spoiler alert, that didn't happen. I think this guy is the most genius troll, you know, fire starter ever. That guy, him and 50 Cent could really start, like, an amazing company and take over the whole planet if they wanted to, I'm just saying. Anyway, let's check in with the world and see what else is going on, because I feel like everyone's getting smarter and, like peace. I think we might be, like, right on the brink of utopia. Like, we're, like, this close.
A security camera captures the moment two thieves early last Monday stole that camera, along with tools from a home being rehabbed. The real estate broker saw the whole thing.
Somebody picked up the camera and was like, what is this? And then they bagged it.
Because the house was vacant after the burglars kicked the front door open here, they spent some time inside, but it's what happened later that could ultimately lead to their arrest.
They took around $8,000 in tools. They also took a camera, which was hidden, which they did not know that would operate pretty much anywhere. So it's operating on their dining table right now. We can see everything.
That's right. This video was recorded today, a week later, still in the home of the burglar.
We're seeing people doing drugs. We're seeing people talk about how they sold the stuff, where the money went.
So you don't think they realize it's still transmitting?
They may or may not, but I don't think they really care.
We're blurring the faces because no one's been criminally charged, but Milwaukee police have this video too.
It's really disheartening. I think that when someone works hard to rev up a house to make sure it's occupiable and lovely for someone to live, and someone just comes through and destroys that.
The battery-operated camera uses the cellular network and is still seemingly calling out for an arrest. In Milwaukee, Nick Bohr, WISN 12 News.
Get the fuck out of here!
Milwaukee police tell 12 News they are continuing to investigate but have made no arrests.
Oh my God, these people stole the fucking camera, not knowing that it was a camera, I suspect, and then left it on the whole time while they, it's been on for a week on their kitchen table.
Get the fuck out of here!
Like, you have to have 100% strength. You have to have 100% strength and be, like, feeling vibrant and the hills are alive with the sound of music to really, like, look at something that a human would do like this and be like, oh, well, it's, you know, they're just down on their luck or whatever. Because right now, the way I'm feeling is, bruh.
Get the fuck out of here.
Not the Black Lives Matter shirt, too. Oh, yikes. Yikes. I just want to know what this device was. They didn't describe the device at all. Was this device like one of those spy cameras that it's like, oh, it's a can of Pepsi or whatever? Because the way she was describing it sounds just like a fucking camera. It just sounds like a webcam, or like, is it a nanny cam? Is it hidden in a bear? What is the device that they would just put it on the table and then ignore it for an entire fucking week?
Get the fuck out of here.
That can't be. That doesn't make no sense whatsoever. I'm just saying. Am I missing something? I'm fucking missing something. I think it's a bear cam. It must be a bear cam. But then imagine they just got like a teddy bear like on the table. They must just think it's cute. All right. Well, congratulations, folks. You're on Crackhead Camera. Yeah. Come on down. Enjoy yourselves. They're like, no one's been criminally charged in this. Yeah, because they're letting the camera run out until it dies. And then when it dies, or whatever happens to it and the feed stops, that's when they'll be like, okay, we've got all the evidence we need. You can go in there and we can fucking take them right now.
Get the fuck out of here.
It's coming. Just watch. Wait for the update. There will be an update on that story. Okay. I'm just saying, maybe those people, like their parents, they didn't have a good relationship with their parents, you know? And relationships, as I'm learning now as a parent of 5-year-old twins, relationships are important. You know, what you bestow on your children is very important. So all I'm saying is we need to be there for our children.
This Montgomery County mother accused of abandoning her two children was all smiles when she was arrested 3 states away.
Yeah, kind of a bizarre photo there. Well, officers found Raven Yates in Alabama more than 2 months after she vanished.
ABC 13's Brianna Connor is getting new facts on her arrest. And Brianna, what's next for this woman?
Raven Yates still needs to be processed in Mobile, Alabama before she's brought back here to Montgomery County to face the charges against her. Detectives working this case had been looking for Yates for about 3 months. I'm told law enforcement in Mobile had to break down the bedroom door of an older man's apartment to find her.
The popularity of it got a lot of people interested in it.
Raven Yates gained thousands of followers and has been trending on social media ever since she made headlines for accusations of abandonment. Roman Forest police say she left her 12-year-old daughter and 3-year-old son all alone for 2 months. Investigators say they had to fend for themselves with little food or medicine at this house on Maplewood Ridge Drive while Yates lived in Alabama.
I've never seen anything like that, and I've never seen anybody play into the camera and play into the social media as she has.
The entire time, Yates was posting provocative images like these online while fully aware there was a warrant out for her arrest. Roman Forest Police Chief Stephen Carlisle says tips poured in from the public, and that's what eventually led to her arrest in Mobile. This photo capturing Yates in cuffs and seemingly unbothered by the allegations that she put her own children in danger.
I think was playing for the camera. She wanted to have a smile. She wanted to look good.
Yates' 12-year-old is with her father, who lives out of state. Police say the child was afraid to tell her dad what was happening at first because she was worried she'd be separated from her brother, who has a different dad. At last check, Yates' other children were safe with relatives while she prepares to head back home now.
We're waiting for her to be extradited back to Montgomery County, and then, of course, we'll be able to interview her and find out her side of the story, and we'll go from there.
If convicted, she could spend 20 years behind bars and away from social media attention. In Montgomery County, I'm Brianna Connor, ABC 13 Eyewitness News.
Get the fuck out of here!
Wow. Holy shit. Look at the smile on her face. Folks, if you've ever had kids or have kids or know anything about kids, you'll know that that is the smile of a parent who's been off of their job for 2 months.
Get the fuck out of here.
Holy shit. Go on, Miss Raven. Get it. Get out there and be somebody. Holy shit. Like, yo, man, I want to be popular on social media and promote my shit and everything like that. And it's tough to make videos and reels and promote your shit like when you got kids to take care of. Trust, I understand. I understand what that's like. But the one thing that I know I can't do is leave my kids unattended to for 2 whole fucking months.
Get the fuck out of here.
Shit. She went on vacation. No, she didn't go on vacation. She went on extended leave. You know that commercial when they're like, I'm sorry, I gotta call in to work sick. And then when the camera turns, it's a kid. And like the parent's trying to call in sick to being a parent. This is what this bitch did. She's like, oh guys, you know, I gotta go on. I gotta take a hiatus for a while. I can't really do the job. Yo, not only was she getting her TikTok on, hooking up with some other dude. She lived living with some other dude. And left a, what was it, 9 years old? And then like a 5 year old? Yikes.
Get the fuck out of here.
Wow. Damn, she looks, but you gotta admit, 12 and 3, that was the ages? Oh shit, I fucked up. Is even younger. 3? Holy shit, that's insane. Even with a 12 year old, I mean, all right, 12 year old, okay, cool. But yo, that 12 year old, yo, one time, give some applause for that 12 year old taking care of that 3 year old. It's sad. That is a sad situation, but give her some props. Or he or she some props, because the 12 year old taking care of a 3 year old. Me and my sister, we used to walk home pretty young by ourselves. And I can remember one time, I must have been in like fourth grade. So I was probably like, what, 9, almost 10. And our elementary school was right around the corner from our house at the time. But our house was in a shitty neighborhood. And our house got broken into multiple times. But the first time that it got broken into, it was one of them days where my mom had to work in the afternoon. And we came home, basically walk home from school. And the deal was, you go in, you unlock, boom, go right into the crib and wait for my mom. She'd be there in an hour type vibes. And we came home to the house and it had been robbed. Front door wide fucking open. Me and my sister. My sister's 2 years younger than me. And all I can remember, and yo, I'm not a confrontational person, and I've always been a pretty, like, I was never like a brave kid in my opinion anyway. But for whatever reason, I was like, yo, I told my sister, I'm like, wait. I went to the kitchen, I got a knife, and walked all around the house to see if the person was still there. I don't know what I was gonna do. If I would have ran into that person with the knife, I probably would have got stabbed, you know? I was fucking like 10. I was like 9. I don't know, I was really young. But I was like, fuck it, like, whatever. Our place was a hot mess. I'll never forget that shit. But, I mean, I guess, like, kids are really adaptable in that regard, where it's like, you put a kid anywhere, they'll do what they gotta do, and they'll try and, you know, especially if they have to, like, take on responsibility, you know that we've seen many cases of that happening. But I just gotta say that, like, that's my one story that I can kind of relate to understanding, like, what a kid has to do when a kid has to, like, really get their bars up, and I'm just gonna salute that 12-year-old one more time. My favorite part of the story was that she was posting online on social media and people knew what her situation was, so they were fucking giving tips to the cops because they knew this bitch had left her kids at home.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yikes. Alright. Okay, alright. Let's shake that off for a second, because that wasn't a nice feeling. I didn't like that feeling. Alright. Okay, Google. I want you to show me how to take care of my family better.
Police say a mom of 6 died at University Hospital in Aurora days after she walked in. On Wednesday, she complained of a severe headache before doctors placed her on life support. Since then, investigators compiled over 50 pages of evidence against her husband, James Craig, and arrested him for murder.
Those are very strong pieces of evidence, if in fact they're true and the prosecution can prove it.
9 News legal expert Scott Robinson is talking about the details in the arrest warrant. Police say Craig used a computer in his dental office in Aurora to purchase potassium cyanide. Court records say the package was delivered to work. Investigators believe Craig put the substance in Angela's protein shakes to poison her.
Potassium cyanide, like other cyanide salts, works by stopping the body's ability to use the oxygen that you've breathed in.
Dr. Andrew Bonham helps lead the Department of Chemistry at MSU. He says potassium cyanide isn't difficult to get a hold of. Police said they found emails Craig sent to the company. He told them he was a surgeon and needed it for research on a medical procedure.
Potassium cyanide and the other cyanides are very acutely toxic. So they make good pesticides, good fumigants to get rid of pests, but they're not typically used in a medical context beyond that.
According to the warrant, police say Craig searched online for how to make poison and top 5 undetectable poisons that show no signs of foul play.
People need to understand, if you do internet searches, even if you delete the history. That information may well still be available to a skilled technician.
A couple who appeared to know Craig and his defense attorney didn't make a comment after his first court appearance. Prosecutor said Angela is also from a big family, the youngest sibling of 10. Kelly Rinke, 9 News.
Police say an employee in the office saw the poison when it was delivered and became suspicious when Angela got sick a few days later. According to court records, employees told police Craig wanted a divorce. Police say he had a romantic relationship with another woman, and it appears he even flew her to Denver while his wife was dying in the hospital.
Get the fuck out of here!
Come on, man. Holy fucking shit. This is a dark-ass episode. I shouldn't be doing this when I'm sick. This man... Okay, folks. The year is 2023. I understand there's still some people not technologically savvy. And that's understandable. But can we all just acknowledge that by now, everyone should just figure out that if you Google something, that your search history is traceable. Just wanted to put that out there.
Get the fuck out of here.
There's still people that are like, no, if I can just Google whatever I fucking want, put whatever I want in the computer. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. What are you doing? Yeah, my VPN's got a VPN. Like, put a VPN. If you're putting a VPN, put a VPN before you put the VPN. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's got to be better ways. Go to the Apple store or something. I don't know. No, even that's stupid. Because then they could catch you searching it at the time with the camera. Like, has this man never watched Forensic Files? That's my question. Like, holy shit. And then just think about, like, everyone in life's done something foul. You know what I mean? And if you have some sort of a soul or a conscience, you probably feel pretty shitty at some points when you're doing something, like, kind of foul. You're like, damn, this is fucked up. I shouldn't really be doing this. That's my assumption. But this man was with his mistress that he wanted to start a new life with while his wife was in the hospital that he had poisoned with cyanide.
Get the fuck out of here!
How the fuck does this happen? How? I don't understand. And also, there's no relationship, no sexual gratification in this world that could possibly justify murdering your wife and mother of your children.
Get the fuck out of here!
I don't know. Apparently, this woman's condition started with a seizure in the afternoon of around 2 p.m. and her condition began to deteriorate. She suffered from lack of oxygen, no pupil reaction, and had increased intracranial pressure, according to the affidavit. She was placed on life support, and her medical team could not determine what condition she was suffering with or what caused the rapid decline in her health. They changed all the names of friends and coworkers in the story, and they have a bunch of conversations with the investigators and the husband, and obviously he's dodging it and trying to be slick, but they already knew what the fuck was going on. Let's see right now. It's a long ass story. There's a lot going on here. I'm assuming that right now they got him, and I'm trying to figure out what the charges are going to be and when that's going to happen, or if that's already happened. I don't know. Doesn't really say. This is like literally like I'm reading through like the court transcripts at this point. One of his patients said named Andrew Orth said he was at the office the week prior and noted that he had to see a different dentist because Craig was at the hospital with his sick wife. Then they quoted this guy as saying he was literally the best dentist I ever had. That's why I recommended him to my mom. That's why I recommend my brother. So it was a large clientele that came here under that trust. And guess what? He broke that fucking trust.
Get the fuck out of here!
If he murders his family, that I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that that probably makes him not the greatest dentist. I'm just saying. Just a thought. I don't know. I'm just going on a fucking hunch here, so don't hate me. All right. Okay. We got to get out of here. This neighborhood that we're in right now is terrible. Let's get into a car because, like, you can get into a car these days and it's pretty safe, right? Like, nobody's going to do anything stupid in your car.
It all started here at the Best Western when 38-year-old Megan Levitt called for an Uber.
And as soon as she got in, she said, I need to get to Dick's or Walmart. I think my boyfriend's getting arrested.
Her driver, who doesn't want to be identified, says she jumped into his car and started making calls.
She's on speakerphone. I can hear the whole thing. Then she called. Somebody said Seabrook Police. I'm like, oh, what is she doing? And she said, there's a man in Walmart with a gun.
Still searching for her boyfriend, they pulled up to Dick's Sporting Goods. And it's here where they found him under arrest.
They were bringing the boyfriend out, arresting him, and she jumped out, dropped all of her IDs and credit cards and everything in my car.
Across the way, there was already a commotion. As that driver would later find out, a bomb threat had been made here at Walmart, forcing hundreds of people to evacuate.
So I'm like, good Lord.
He says he stopped to try to figure out exactly what was happening and overheard police.
He asked the guy, did your girlfriend make that call? And he said, no, sir. So I motioned for the officer to come over. I said, look, she just made a call from my car.
It was that tip that led police right to Leavitt as they arrested her just hours later. Officers realizing she had made the first hoax bomb call before she got into the Uber, followed by a second call of a reported gunman on her ride over.
She came over to try to distract us from making that arrest.
Police crediting that man's quick action.
We're thankful to him for sticking around and flagging us down and letting us know that was really a big piece of the investigation.
But that driver still insists the real heroes are the officers.
They're the heroes. They're the ones who ran into a building when there might have been a bomb in there. All I did was take somebody and do the right thing. Everybody should report it.
In Seabrook, Ariel Metropolis, WMUR News 9.
Get the fuck out of here!
It all started here at the Best Western when 38...
Oh, shit. Sorry and shit. I had the wrong fucking... Yeah, see, I'm doing renovations. Shit's fucked up around here. Yo, shout out to that man. He's a hero. He's a fucking hero, goddammit. Oh, man. First of all, if you're going to call in a bomb threat or do anything illegal on your phone, don't get into another human being's car. An Uber, no less. Not even like a taxi cab in New York. They might just like let it slide. They might just be like, oh, this crazy ass bitch. I don't know. This is New York. Get the fuck out. Or, you know, I'll just drop her off and go about my day with the rest of my affairs. But an Uber driver in wherever the fuck this lady's from, that man has time. That man has time. He's with the bullshit. This is in Maine. This is in fucking Seabrook, New Hampshire, or Maine, or some shit like that. And wherever Seabrook is, the Uber drivers have time to get out and fucking investigate a situation. So it's probably best if you are going to do something illegal, you probably wait till you get out of your Uber. This is a smart idea, I think, you know? Allow me to commit my next felony on speakerphone. Come on, girl. I mean, what are you doing? What are you doing? Apparently, she thought her boyfriend was getting arrested, or maybe he was cheating on her or something. There was some shit going on where she was like, I need to get to my boyfriend, but then she was calling in bomb threat at Walmart and doing it from an Uber. Worst getaway car ever.
Get the fuck out of here!
Well, that's all right, though, because you know how it works, folks. If you do something stupid on this show, 9 out of 10 times, it always ends up with a quick wardrobe change that looks a little something like this.
Get the fuck out of here.
There it is. She's in the orange, folks, with a mask on because she's concerned about COVID or some shit. She got into Uber and made illegal bomb threat calls. All of a sudden, now she's like, I'm just concerned about my health. I need a mask. I don't know how that happened, but I'm like, why did they put a mask on her? Well, Seabrook police do not believe Saturday's threats are related to a series of similar threatening calls that have been made across New England in recent months. Leavitt is scheduled to be arraigned on Monday, March 20th. So mark your fucking
fuck out of here.
Mark your calendars if you would, please. All right.
So I think you should use this idea for your Florida segment and get the out of here. So I came up with, get on the Florida, because when the cops come arrest you with their handcuffs, they're like, get on the floor so that they can put the handcuffs on. And since it's about Florida and all the crazy stuff that happens there, which is usually involved with the cops, so get on the Florida is Florida. and also get on Florida. I mean, get on the floor. So I think you should use it because I'm smart. Get on the floor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck. Shit, man. I'm limping. I started doing a segment at the beginning of the year called The Weekly Recollect. And it was basically I was going to go through and put all the like happenings of the week into rhyme. Kind of like what Skills used to do with the wrap up. And I thought it'd be a cool way to do like a weekly content thing, get to like flex the raps a little bit and also like work in current events and shit like that. Bruh, the news is so fucking disheartening and discouraging that I had to quit.
Get the fuck out of here.
I quit doing that shit. And you know what's funny? Nobody, almost next to nobody, nobody gave a fuck that I stopped doing it. Nobody. Normally, if I stop doing something, they're like, oh, you know, hey, man, what's up with this? Or what's, you know, like I got the wrecking crews very tuned into like what the drops are and what's happening or whatever. It was very few mentions about the recollect. Nobody wanted to. Everyone was like, eh, I'm okay on that shit. Fuck that shit. So this show is kind of similar, you know, like the first half of the show can very much stress me out and depress me. But that's why we have this segment, folks. Welcome to Get on the Florida, okay?
Good evening, everybody. Everybody's looking absolutely fabulous. A little bit serious, but I am here as a concerned citizen and voter. You guys might not be aware, but Florida has the largest per capita population of sugar daddies in the U.S. Miami, Palm Beach, and Boca lies the most concentrated populace of these aged benefactors. Sugar daddies, both gay and straight.
All of a sudden, hold up a second. If you're listening to this podcast right now on audio and you have access to the video on Spotify or you're watching this on YouTube, I need you to go to the video and watch this video. Because not only is this woman insane looking, I'm going to rewind it. Also, you need to check out her sugar daddy that's to the left of her, who literally looks like his face is in pain.
Good evening, everybody. Everybody's looking absolutely fabulous. A little bit serious, but I am here as a concerned citizen and voter. You guys might not be aware, but Florida has the largest per capita population of sugar daddies in the U.S. Miami, Palm Beach, and Boca lies the most concentrated populace of these aged benefactors. Sugar daddies, both gay and straight, and yes, even sugar mommies, are responsible for college educations, cars, homes, rents, jets, Birkins, and the occasional body enhancement, supporting our local economy. Let us celebrate these giving, generous Samaritans, as I stand before you, requesting that you decree a Sugar Daddy and Mommy Appreciation Day on March 10th to honor those who have given us so much. Thank you and love you all. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you for your, but that's a city council issue.
No, yeah. I really, really just wanted to address this issue here today because I think it's a very important issue.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you as well. You guys look amazing. Love you all. Bye.
Stop it. She has a huge fake tits. And
anybody else wishing to speak on the issue of the flammable liquids?
Oh my God, what the fuck? Yo, stop it.
Get the fuck out of here.
Stop it right now.
Get on the
This is amazing. I had a second video of this and I can't find it now, but it's fine. This woman, if you're just listening to the audio then, her name is Ashley Cream. She went before the city's planning and zoning board on March 2nd and asked that the following Friday, March 10th, first of all, bitch, March 10th is Mario Day.
Get the fuck out of here.
Mario Day, all right? Don't be trying to take Mario Day from us.
Get the fuck out of here.
Her name is Ashley Cream. I'm pretty sure that's not her government name, all right? She went to the city's planning and zoning board March 2nd, asked that the following Friday, March 10th, be designated as Sugar Daddy and Mommy Appreciation Day. The woman who identified herself went before the Boca Raton Planning and Zoning Board on March 2nd, asked for the designation. You guys may not be aware, but Florida has the largest per capita population of sugar daddies in the U.S., she went to say. She added that they benefit the local economy, then thanked the board, and then one board member thanked her before advising her that she spoke before the wrong group.
Get the fuck out of here!
Like, bitch, that's a city council issue. We don't do that. This is the Planning and Zoning Board. And then in another video I seen of this same clip, she says something about, like, enhancements, and then she, like, grabs her very, very large, you know, fake titties. And then she's like, well, oh, but not mine. These are all natural.
Get the fuck out of here.
What, this bitch think we're crazy? What the fuck is going on? This bitch looks like, hold on, let me just nail it for a second. She looks like as if Tina Turner and George Clinton had a baby.
Get the fuck out of here.
And then they gave it like the biggest fake tits they could give it. That would be this bitch, Ashley Cream. All right, y'all, just know that next you have today's March 21st, so you have just a little under a year to get ready for Sugar Daddy and Sugar Mommy Appreciation Day. It's March 10th next year. Fuck Mario. Yeah. Oh, man. Good stuff. Good stuff. Florida. See, this is why we have the Florida segment. Get on the Florida, basically relieves us of all the stress and gets us, you know, feeling like, oh, this world's kind of like, it's crazy, but it's like cute crazy. Like, it's funny crazy. Not like depressing, murder your wife, put fucking cyanide in her protein shake crazy. It's like, oh, crazy lady with a big take tits that wants a special day for her benefactor or whatever. All right. Whew. Okay, you guys all right? Everybody good? Strapped in? Okay. Let's just get a bite real quick.
Brevard County, a woman is accused of threatening a McDonald's employee with a gun because the meal she wanted was not on the menu. According to the arrest affidavit, this woman, Quavi Young, was at a Coco McDonald's when she ordered something that wasn't on the menu. Police say Young then drove up to the window and threatened the drive-through worker with a handgun and demanded that worker take her order. Young was arrested on aggravated assault charges and has since been released.
You're on the floor.
Okay, here we go. Goddamn. Why does this girl look like... She looks like a female... Female Hobson? Kind of? It's the eyes. She looks like Herson. Quavi Young, 26, she faced felony charges. This woman was upset. She went to McDonald's in Coco on Thursday night, and she's accused of brandishing a gun in the drive-thru and pointing at the employee doing an argument over a non-existent menu item. The affidavit describes what responding officers were told by witnesses after arriving to find Young, who's 26, by the way, behind the wheel with a gun in her passenger seat. The weapon was identified as an M&P Shield 9mm with a drum magazine capable of holding up to 50 rounds. News 6 called the McDonald's on Saturday to ask what the fuss was all about. And we were informed that Young allegedly demanded a cheeseburger bundle, quote, unquote, a sort of combo similar to what can be done for McDoubles or McChickens, if you know what I'm talking about. And she refused an employee's offer to sell her a cheeseburger and an a la carte order of small fries instead. No, she wanted a cheeseburger bundle.
Get the fuck out of here.
This occurred during the woman's second appearance in the drive-thru later that day, according to employees on the phone in the affidavit, because this, the employees described things were a little busy in the drive-thru lane when she first came through and they had an encounter with her. The second time, though, Quavi Young, she was not about the bullshit. She wanted her cheeseburger bundle. The victim told police that Young pulled to the first drive-thru window after being told she couldn't be served a meal that wasn't on the menu. She was probably like, bitch, they have a secret menu at Starbucks. Just give me my cheeseburger bundle. Once there, the victim asked Young what her problem was, to which Young brandished the pistol, said, yeah, this is my problem. I need a cheeseburger bundle, and you don't want to get shot today. When police arrived, officers also learned that Young did not have a valid driver's license. Shocker. What a shocker. Young faces charges of open carry of a weapon, knowingly driving with a suspended license, that's her first offense, and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon without the intent to kill, just the intent to harm, to scare. The last charge being a felony, she was booked early Friday morning, given a $7,500 bond amount and bonded out Saturday morning. Records show she still has not gotten her cheeseburger bundle.
Get the fuck out of here.
Have you ever heard the expression, the customer is always right?
The customer is always right. That was a live look at Quavo Young inside the drive-thru. All right, I'm stupid today. Don't listen to me. Look, if you're in Florida and you have a gun, apparently, you can kind of do whatever the fuck you want with it, because it seems like people, like, are quick to pull it out, quick to shoot things or shoot people. And then, like, you know, you think to yourself, like, oh, if somebody just openly, you know, randomly opened fire in traffic on the highway in Florida, that would be something that would be like, we're drawing the line. Like, you can't do that. And then you'd remember a story that we covered on this show already. Mr. Popper, I think his name was. And it's time for his revenge.
Right now at 5:30 and only on 10, charges have been dropped against this guy who was recorded by his own dash cam opening fire on another driver on I-95. The defendant has maintained he thought he was being shot at, and that's why he grabbed his gun.
Today, that stand your ground defense led to all charges being dismissed. Local Lieutenant Janine Stanwood is live with that one and only exclusive, Janine.
Florida Highway Patrol says the other driver had actually thrown a water bottle toward Eric Popper, but you said it. He has maintained the whole time that that was gunfire, and now the charges against him have been dropped. This chilling video made national headlines. The man firing out the window, Eric Popper, faced charges including aggravated assault with a deadly weapon.
I'm very relieved. I believe that justice was served.
But now he's speaking to us as prosecutors dismiss those charges.
It's been a long process. It's been almost 2 years.
It happened in June of 2021. According to Florida Highway Patrol, Popper was behind the wheel of this black Toyota Venza when he cuts off another driver. That driver starts tailgating. Popper slams the brakes. Troopers say the other driver then hurls a water bottle. Popper maintains it was gunfire.
I've watched the video many times. Did not see a water bottle.
I think under the stand your ground law, Mr. Popper was perfectly reasonable and justified in his actions. There is no question when you look and listen to the facts of the case, Mr. Popper was shot at.
We asked Popper if he had any regrets.
Hindsight's 20/20. There's always things that we can look back and say we wish we'd have done differently. Definitely what I would have done would be not to pump my brakes. I would have taken another tactic, or, you know, definitely tried to de-escalate a little better.
Popper says he wouldn't have changed what happened next, opening fire. He says he was in fear for his life. Now he says he's looking forward to moving on. We're in Northwest Miami-Dade. I'm Janine Stanwood, Local 10 News.
Get the fuck out of here!
Get on the floor.
De-escalate a little better, my guy. You fucking unloaded a whole chamber through your fucking front windshield.
Get the fuck out of here!
With the most terrible aim I have ever seen on a human being ever. Look, I don't know any shit. I don't know shit about guns. All right, I loathe guns. I don't fuck with guns. Like, I, as a kid, like, as a boy, like, I get it. Like, you, we played games with guns. I play Call of Duty and all that shit. But, like, really, guns for real, like, is, I don't know, man. I just don't feel comfortable around them. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to get shot. You feel me? Like, I just don't fuck with them. I'm sorry. And I'm not judging people who are into guns. It's cool. I understand. I get it. I just don't fuck with them personally. So all I'm saying is, with my limited knowledge of guns, being that I've also have never fired one to this day, I've like missed a couple of times. We're all going to go to the range and then it never happened. So I've like still never fired one for real. And I'm kind of like cool with that for now. But even with that being said, I'm willing to guarantee, I'll bet my next album budget, that I could have shot with better aim than Eric Popper. I'm just saying.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm just saying. My guy. What the fuck? I just don't, de-escalate a little. I mean, look, I've been driving on Miami streets for 20 years. And I'm just saying, it's not that hard to not get into some shit. Some people are assholes on these streets. You just gotta, you know what I mean? Bob and weave a little bit. Don't pump your brakes. De-escalate. Whatever you do, just don't open fire on another car.
Get the fuck out of here.
But it's okay, because guess what? He learned his lesson. And what punishment did he pay, you ask yourself? Let me just see here. I had files here. They had There was like a packet. Oh, yeah, here it is. His punishment was absolutely fucking nothing.
Get the fuck out of here.
Absolutely fucking nothing. All right. Here, let's do this. We gotta get out of Florida. We gotta get out of Florida. And here's what we're gonna do. We are going to, let's just all relax. Let's get something therapeutic to, you know, calm us all down. Like, you know, something peaceful, something homeopathic. I don't know. Relax. Let me get relaxed.
We start tonight in Lake County, where Eustis police say this man walked into a massage spa and demanded sex acts from an employee.
They say he pulled out a gun and threatened to kill the victim if she called for help. West Tucsonite Gabor Gettigas walks us through what happened and how police were able to track the suspect.
A worker at a Eustis massage spa is shaken up after police say a man demanded sex acts from her while holding a gun to her head. The call came in as a possible armed robbery just before 10:40 Thursday morning. Police say when suspect Timothy Paul Taylor walked into A1 Massage, the employee was alone. She told him no.
I'm proud of her. She's a, you know, she was a victim, but she didn't become a total victim. She fought back.
Eustis Police Chief Craig Capri says the employee was not hurt, but Taylor escaped through the back door and drove off in a car. Police say he threatened to come back and kill the woman if she called police. Lake County Sheriff's Office used a helicopter to help search for the suspect. At some point, police learned Taylor dropped the car off at his family's home. The chief says with some help from Taylor's mom, they caught him.
She said he had left and went in the woods. And he confessed to her that he did something that he shouldn't have done.
He was arrested around 2:30 in the afternoon.
He refused to come out, was resisting, and he was bit in the calf by a police dog. We located a gun at the scene, near the scene, but it was a BB gun. BB gun, real gun, they look very much alike.
Police say this is not his first run-in with the law.
Over 25 arrests, 9 felony convictions, violent felon.
Wesh 2 spoke with the victim off camera at A1 Massage. She's grateful she's okay, but she says she's struggling to process the scary attack.
She was able to fight him off, and that's a brave person right there to do that.
Reporting in Eustis, Sanay Gebergetegas, Wesh 2 News.
If he had 25 arrests, if he's a violent felon, why is he going into massage parlors on a Sunday? What the fuck is going on? Timmy Taylor. Come on, man. Number 26. How severe does the crime have to be to understand this person shouldn't be on the streets anymore? You know what I'm saying? Already you should have known he was a threat to society when they had to fucking catch him by his mom had to help them catch him.
Get the fuck out of here.
Timmy's in the woods. Yeah, he just said he did something bad. I don't know. I don't know what it was. Ma'am, you know, your son is 39 years old and has been arrested 25 times. He has? What do you mean? Holy shit.
Get the fuck out of here.
Timmy Taylor. Come on, bro. What are you doing? Timothy Paul Taylor, 35. I was sorry. 35 years old. I thought he was 39. Yeah, they tracked him down. The police dog got him. This is 2:30 in the afternoon, by the way. It wasn't even at night. It was like broad daylight trying to get a little jerky jerk. I'm just like, my man, there's ways, you know what I mean? I'm just saying, like, you know, watch some Vice for a little while. You'll understand. These things can be attained. You don't need to go hold somebody up at gunpoint. You know, don't kidnap the foodie. But that's where we are. We're in Florida. Welcome to Florida, everybody. Hope you enjoyed your trip. It's been fucking real.
Yeah, I'm a Florida.
It's been a joy. All right. Oh, man. My whole soul is just imploding in front of your eyes. And I'm glad you're here to watch it. Amanda is in Florida right now, and this is the perfect segue for her to leave Florida, because she's gonna be like, fuck this shit, I'm out, fuck this place, fuck this, I'm going home. Well, speaking of guys who offer things that no one asked for, We've got a nice segment lined up for you from the one and only, the man who's quick to jump on my mistakes, and keep me honest, keep me sharp. Yeah, my two spents.
You'll recognize it. It's Spencer here, biggest fan. I've seen every single episode of the podcast. Hey, you recognize Spencer here, a longtime caller. I've been calling for years.
My two spends. It's my two spends. My two spends.
Oh, you got an opinion? Well, you can't have it, because it's my two spends.
Spence, yeah.
What is up, y'all? Spencer from Earth here, back for another one. This week I wanted to discuss the self-titled album by Masego. If you're not familiar with Masego, most of his fame comes from the song To Dao with FKJ. It was a fully improvised song. They posted the video of them making it to YouTube. It has like 500 million views or something absurd like that. Very talented, multi-instrumentalist, great singer, can improv rap and all of that stuff. So here he is. This is the album and this is the review. So first off, I just want to say I really enjoyed this album quite a bit. I know that Rec has also been listening to this album, so I look forward to his afterthoughts on this. I'm gonna keep it short because I gotta get this clip sent into to Rec, or it's not going on the podcast at all, right? But anyway, this album I was a really big fan of. It's very vibey, it's very jazzy, it's got a lot of really catchy moments on it. The whole album is basically a love album, but it tackles, you know, all the different facets of love and relationships in general. And normally I wouldn't be a big love album kind of guy, but I think it's just executed really well overall. Just super jazzy and you just catch a vibe with it, you know what I mean? And lots of just absolute great songs on it, absolute bops, as I would call them. Songs like Down in the Dumps, I think are great. Bye Bye My Love, What You Wanna Try, of course, is really good. Gemini, Two Sides, I'm So Gemini is probably my favorite on the album, but that's tough. There's a lot of really good songs. You Never Visit Me is also really good, really like bluesy, loungy song where he starts it by singing to his ex about how she never visits him. Just lots of really kind of tongue-in-cheek moments in the album. Lots of kind of funny skits that just kind of show their way in the end of a song and kind of serve as the next part. The next intro to the next song. Really interesting album, really well executed, really great instrumentals. His singing, really top notch. That I don't really know what else to say about it. There was a couple songs that I was a little more mixed on, like In Style, You Play With My Heart, which is really more of an interlude. It's like a, I think it's like a minute long song or something. Who Cares Anyway, I was a little mixed on. Say You Want Me, I was a little mixed on. In Style, I think I said that one. Eternal Sunshine, I was a little mixed on, but it's trippy, it's got like some fire pit vibes. So overall the album works together really well, really cohesive, all ties together really well, it's all on theme, it's all aesthetically working together. Lots of catchy moments, lots of great songs. Check it out. That's pretty much it. I'll leave it there. Rec, I know you've been liking this album so far, right? What are you thinking on this? By the way, if you're wanting a rating, okay, if you guys are wanting a rating, I would give this like an A, maybe an A minus. I think it's sitting somewhere in there. It's really strong. Check it out. That's it. Rec, what have you been thinking about this album? What's your favorite song off the album? Recognize featuring Masego coming soon. Mayday featuring Masego coming soon? Masego featuring Mayday coming soon? All right, let us know. Thanks, y'all. Have a beautiful, beautiful week. Enjoy the spring break. Stay beautiful. Spread positivity. Love yourself more than anything else, really. Love yourself. Love others. It's so easy to hate these days, you know? Hate is such an easy thing to do. What's really challenging is to love. So go out there and love each other, physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever kind of love you want to be spreading today. Go and spread that love. All right, y'all. Love you. Like I said, see you next time.
Yeah. The guy from the last story, Timmy Taylor's like, Spencer, I was trying to do that. I was going out and trying to love. What the fuck? They don't, and I got arrested for it. This is bullshit. What the fuck?
Get the fuck out of here.
I enjoyed the Masego album. I super dig his shit, as you already know. I play him on FNL quite frequently. The album is a vibe. I like it as well. I agree with everything you said. I didn't hear any negative takes. I kind of on board with you with everything. I don't have a favorite yet. Honestly, I've been bumping the album from cover to cover. I haven't really skipped over any of them. Mostly with his music, I often feel like I like everything. I like it. Just, I don't know. It's a vibe. Things are cool to listen to. The harmonies are super fire. Lyrics are interesting as well. And yeah, I just like the tone of his music in general. He's definitely like becoming one of my new favorites. So yeah, I dig the album a lot. I super enjoy it. And I'm gonna bump it. I'm gonna need a few more, like, I don't know, another week or two before I like can say a favorite for real. But Gemini is definitely one of mine too. It's up there for me. But I dig it a lot. I dig it a lot. So thank you for the review and the positive affirmations, Spencer. We appreciate you. All right. I fuck with it. Always count on Spence to give us 2 cents. It's only right. All right. So what are we going to do next? Oh, that's right. We got a breakdown request for this week. I feel like, I hope I didn't cover this song on the show already. I really hope I didn't, because I don't think I did, but it could have, but I don't think I did. But I had recently posted up videos performing my verse for this song on social media. That's why I think the song is like very fresh in my mind. But James has a breakdown request this week for an old feature that we did that never officially came out. And you can only find on YouTube. Last I checked. So, James, what is the track?
Hey, Rick, it's James. I was wondering if you can do a breakdown of the song Cloud Nine by Jaron Benn with you and Chris Webby on the track. Thank you.
All right, let's do it.
What the
of that jack. Along with the high grade that I fly, man. If I lean too much, don't bother me. I got a strobe light pointed in my eye with the future playing loops inside my mind. So surf up, motherfucker, I'm wavy. One to the head, two for my ladies. This game boulevard's looking like guitars, and I'm Tony Montana in the 80s. These velvet ropes can choke you though when I provoke. I seen episodes of that show. Control my heart and fly straight to tri-state. The sun rays knock on my door, so lift off. I'm lost. My face is numb and clothes get ripped off. At a motel, they call it airport lodge. With a private dancer shaking ass in a thong and it's on. Got a stash that'll last all weekend. And the bitch with me ready for the freaking. My room's reeking, but I don't give a shit cause I'm lit and I'm feeling so decent. Ripped from a piece out of glass for relief. Only the best sets go through my bloodstream. Everybody need a time just for relief.
I said we're on cloud nine, it's where you wanna be. Some rockin' lemonade and a splash of Hennessy. The club don't close, the drinks gon' flow. We get in where we fit it and nobody got it low. Said we all cloud nine, it's where you wanna be. I'll take a look at you, you can take a look at me. Clothes fall off, we flow in the LA. We do it how we do it, get it and nothing compares.
Yeah, yeah, four cloud nine, bitch, I float on 17. Cigarilla full of weed to cover with mythazine. Kill a motherfucker, put his head in the guillotine. Black tar heroin that came from the Philippines. Eddie Kane, nigga, doing coke in a limousine. This shit'll blow a nigga's face to smithereens. 3 weeks clean, relapse, I'm still a fiend. Heaven in a bag and it's wrapped in cellophane. Yeah, yeah. You can see the high in my iris. Best of both worlds, bitch, Miley Cyrus. Hit a nigga hard like a fiery virus. Brain dead, can I feel a pulse in my wrist? Hot glue, stiff paint, tanks of nitrous. Smoke more dope than the boys in Cyprus. Heal, and I relent, I cheat with the Irish. Crush it up, sniff it, baby girl, now try this. Yeah, my homeboy cook it in the kitchen. They be like, Jaren, all you need an intervention. The shit that I be on, I have you out of this dimension. When you touch back the earth, I have your fucking brain missing. 12 pack of them PBRs. Is a nigga dead, you know, CPR. Break inside your fucking mama house. Took a couple diamond ring TVs and a VCRs. Jesus, I need help. Life in the fast and the right with no seatbelt. Let the fucking heat melt. Every single gram in the bung. Inhale, exhale, loud pack, take a deep smell. Drug abusing, stuck here on Mars. Come and get me, Houston. Hope it ain't too soon with them. A nigga gone off the same dope that fucked up Whitney Houston.
It's where you wanna be. Some rockin' lemonade and a splash of Hennessy. The club don't close, the drinks gon' flow. We get in where we fit it and nobody got it low. Said we all cloud nine, it's where you wanna be. I'll take a look at you, you can take a look at me. Clothes fall off, we flow in LA. We do it how we do it, get it and nothing compares. Said we all cloud nine.
I'm on drugs, I don't care to mention. All I know is me, Mayday, and Jaren betting on cloud nine, fly through the air, ascending. Tell my family and friends, throw an intervention. We be doing this in a goddamn cumulus. We don't need JetBlue, you bitch. We looking down at the moon and shit. You don't have to like me. Kiss my ass and bite me. Stay fucked up, pop a capsule nightly. Up on cloud nine, fucking Aphrodite. Go so hard, I'ma need two turns. And we don't give a fuck about the weed you burn. Cause we got so much that we stay surrounded by the green like a guest on between two ferns. Clothing and the rainfall consists of beer and codeine. Living life like a young Hunter S. Thompson, and this a reenactment of fear and loathing. Phone says roaming, and I'm very lost in the clouds. Yo, I don't care, B. You don't gotta double dare me. Nah, nah, you don't gotta double dare me.
Yeah, man, I'm going nuts. Sipping out my solo cup ever since my first blunt. Webby's never sober, duh. Light one up, let down your head. Cause up here ain't nobody gon' care. Up and away, so fuck it, I'll see you up there. The club don't close, the drinks gon' flow. We get in where we fit it and nobody got it low. Said we all cloud nine, it's where you wanna be. I'll take a look at you, you can take a look at me. Clothes fall off, we flow in LA. We do it how we do it, get it and nothing compares. Said we all cloud nine.
Yeah. Mic check. Oh, man. Fucking shout out to Jaren Benton for putting us on that record years ago. What ended up happening was Jaren hit us with that record, and then it was supposed to just be featuring us. And then so it ended up being Burn and I put a verse on it, and then something happened where, like, yeah, the hook, I don't know if he was crazy about the hook. We were like, okay on the hook. I heard it so many times when we were writing the song that the hook started to get stuck in my head. But yeah, it wasn't definitely like a hook that I was super like amped on at the time. I know a lot of people weren't crazy about the hook, but I loved the beat. I thought the beat was really dope. And I don't say this often, but I like can vouch for myself and say that I fucking killed that shit. I never say that. But when that verse, like, I love that verse for me. You know, some people are like, Woody, what's your favorite? Like, I'm like, okay, no, I'm passionate about that verse. I feel like I bodied that verse, and I never say shit like that, you know? So I just like the beat. I like what it brought out. I like the verse that I wrote for it. I don't know. I just like the vibe. Burns came and killed it. I love Jaren's verse, too. And then he ended up adding Webby, I think, a little bit down the line. And Webby did his thing as well. And, okay, so I'm like, okay, all this shit, cool, cool. And then the record never came out. I don't know what the fuck happened. And apparently what ended up happening was there was an issue with the beat. There was like some kind of either like the beat wasn't available when he thought it was, or the guy had sold it to someone else or some shit. So he lost the beat. So then I thought maybe he might try to remix or something. And then what ended up happening was he just sent us a whole nother record, and we did a Tickophobia is what it was called. So it was a Mayday. It was a Jaren record featuring Mayday, and it came out on, I think, Slow Motion was the EP. And so we ended up doing that song instead. And then I thought no one was ever going to hear this Cloud 9 shit. And then he ended up just uploading it randomly to YouTube like years later. So I was like, oh, okay, people at least get to hear my verse. I like that verse a lot. And then what's funny is somebody told me, they're like, you guys did two songs called Cloud 9. And I'm like, well, correction, we didn't do any songs called Cloud 9. But we were featured on two songs called Cloud 9. This one being Cloud 9 with a number. And then Wax did that song with us and the homie from Bumpin' Uglies. And that was Cloud 9 spelled out. So, yes, we've been a part of two records that were Cloud 9. Spencer's saying I could have reused the verse. I don't know. I'm really weird about that kind of shit. Like, to me, that verse is married to that music. And I just, like, that verse will forever just be that verse, you know? I don't know. I'm just weird about reusing verses. I'd rather just write a new verse. I love writing verses. Some rappers I've met over the years like find it tedious, or like, you know, sometimes to like get through a verse, or they'd be like, oh shit, man, I got another 16 bars left. Now I'm like, nah. Most tracks anyways, I enjoy the process so much that I'm like happy to write. I'm like, nah, man, let's go. Like, I'm gonna write this bar and enjoy every fucking bar of it till the verse is over. You know what I mean? Yeah. I've had someone feature on one of my records once, and they reused an old verse from like some freestyle shit, and I did feel a little bit slighted. I felt like, because that's something you would do if you didn't feel amped to rap on the track. If you're a rapper and you get the chance to rap on a fucking dope beat, and the shit is like, you feel the vibe, why would you not want to create something brand new? I don't know. Like, reusing it is just like something, either you're just feeling lazy or not creative in that moment, or you don't feel the shit enough to give a fuck. And he's like, ah, just write some other shit, whatever, fuck it.
Get the fuck out of here.
So, excuse me. Anyway, Cloud 9, there you go, James. That's the breakdown, basically. The reason why the record never came out. And it is on YouTube. I think that's the only place you can hear it. And a lot of people complain about the mix of that song. The song is unmixed, all right? Just so you know, the song wasn't mixed. Everybody hit me about it. Man, you know, this is why I posted this shit, and they were like, somebody on Instagram was like, man, this is why, you know, like, you guys need to get with better engineers and yada yada, because they making you sound like shit. And boom, and I'm like, my guy, genius. This song is not mixed. This song is an unreleased, unmixed, unmastered, unleveled, like, it's rough. It's just the rough. He basically took the rough of all the shit that was taped together and put it. That's why it sounds crazy. We all sound like different leveled. Even Burn and I, who recorded in the same studio, sound somehow different. We recorded at Mayday Studios for that one. And somehow we both, I don't know, we do sound a little different on that record. I don't know. Anyway, whatever, there it is. Cloud 9, Jaren Benton featuring Mayday and Chris Webby. Produced by I don't know who sold the beat or did something with the beat where we couldn't use the song. We have a couple lines before we get out of here. Let's check in with our resident guru. I need to let y'all know that the lines are open for this show. So if you feel the need to tell anyone in your life,
get the fuck out of here,
whether it be an ex-girlfriend, a shitty friend, your boss, someone at your job that you hate, or if you want to tell a story of something that happened to you that made you say,
get the fuck out of here,
voice memo it on your phone and send it to me at thegtfohpodcast@gmail.com. If you use the link in the show notes, there's also an Anchor voice memo where you can just kind of use your phone to record a minute long voice memo that'll go directly to the show. So which actually reminds me, I think somebody left me, Spencer, did you leave me one of those this week? Because I fucking forgot to get it. I fucking forgot to get it. Look, Lit Lakota's want me to drink some water. I'm going to drink some water for Lit Lakota right now. I'm suffering from a respiratory illness. Sorry and shit. Ah, yeah, that's good. That's great. All right, so yeah, the anchor shit don't work that great. So if you want to send a line to the show or request a breakdown or anything like that, just voice memo it on your phone and send it to the gtfohpodcast@gmail.com. For now, I'll show you how it's done. The one and only Dali Gagne.
What's good, my brother? Haven't done one of these for a bit, so here goes. 11 years ago, I became a believer. So many shots fired during that time and now that I could never unplug. I'll be the last one standing when it all goes up in flames. The daredevil in me will always take the high ride because that's the good pressure in my life. Was never one to be on that jack, but I still tear shit down. Mortuary Mary on my mind while I'm trying to save Ferris from another marathon man. Listening to Mayday keeps me forever new, and I feel bulletproof to the stun gun stick-ups. I take no shortcuts and dead ends and stay away from the bad religions while fighting the fight. I paddle upstream in this sea of life, catching this drift. Believers, what an album. Can't wait to be among the first to experience this front to back in concert. Vegas, baby. Gagne out.
Gagne out. Vegas, baby. Hell yeah. It's only fucking right. Let's go. Let's fucking go. I can't wait. I can't wait for it. Seven shows for Mayday, celebrating the 10th anniversary of the album Believers. Thank you, Denny. Appreciate that. Put very eloquently. We are doing Las Vegas. We are doing San Diego. We are doing Phoenix. We are doing, or Scottsdale. I guess that's kind of the same thing, right? We are doing Colorado Springs, Denver, Greeley, and Albuquerque before we hit Colorado. I'm going to be celebrating my 40th birthday in Colorado Springs at the Black Sheep. All right, we're doing Mayday Believers that night, and I'm celebrating my 40th birthday. The big 4-0. I'm fucking old. And yeah, so they're going to be really fun shows, man. We're going to have a special guest in Vegas to come rock with us. And we've never done the album cover to cover. We're doing the entire album. It's going to be fun. The rehearsals have been really good so far. I'm really excited about it. I really want to do more than seven shows, but the routing of where we have it right now is just those markets. And I don't think we can string together a longer run. I also have to get home right after the run ends for family stuff. So I hope maybe we can do some more, but for right now, it's just going to be these seven, and I don't know, don't quote me on if there's going to be any more, but for right now, if you can make it to one of those seven, please come fuck with us, because we would love to see you there. Believers 10, all right? Let's go. Lit Lakota's turning 30 in 10 days, all right? Philosopher is turning 36 on June 10th, all right? We got some B-days coming up, so fuck yeah. All right, though, I think before we go, Aaliyah has another joke for us. Let's see what Aaliyah's talking about.
Hi, Recognize. I got a joke for you. What did a sushi say to a bee?
What?
Wasabi.
Wasabi. Yes.
Get the fuck out of here.
Episode 68, Sugar Daddy Daycare. Wasabi. 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 I love y'all. Shout out to Aaliyah. Thanks for the joke. Denny, thanks for the line. Spencer, thank you for the segment. If you didn't already know, my latest single is called Line in the Sand. It's streaming everywhere now. I got a video for the single before that called Snowfall that's also playing on YouTube. Please like the podcast, rate it wherever you can. Subscribe to us on YouTube. We got a TikTok now because why not?
Get the fuck out of
here. I'm fucking sick and shit is fucked up, but the show had to go on, and thank you for those tuning in. Thank you for those listening to the show this week. Me and Mike Summers have a new single dropping on Friday. It's called Safety. Wrecking Crew is going to get the pre-save link tonight before I fall asleep, and everybody else is going to get the pre-save link tomorrow. Please support the new single. I fucking love y'all. Thank you for tuning in. It's been real. I'm going to go rest and just try to become a human again, because that would be fun. Remember those days? Those days were glorious. All right. I fucking love y'all. You already know what it is. Until next time, I guess let's play the song.
It's that time again. We gotta say
good night. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend. All right, people. It's time to go home. Yep. Losing time. We're ready to head on out. So let's go. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Now you're making me mad. You're gonna make me swear. Get the fuck out of here. Finish up that beer. You might as well call it a night, my friend. You're gonna have to get the fuck out. You heard me. So long, arrivederci, sayonara. Get the fuck out. Ciao, good night. Bye-bye, so long, farewell. See you later, alligator. In a while, crocodile, shaking now. Get the fuck out. Get the fuck out of here. Come on, give me a fucking break.
Can I get a refill, please?
Hey, you, fuckface, get out of here. What do you fucking got?
Get the fuck out.
Yeah, you.
The GTFOH Podcast. Learn more at thegtfohpodcast.com.
Just what the world needed, one more podcast.
Get the fuck out of here.